Oh, welcome back. Welcome back to the Wild Rose Moon Radio Hour. We are so fortunate. We heard Hannah Livingood play at Open Mic. She just came over, it wasn't that long ago, was it?
Yeah, it's a week and a half ago about.
Yeah, and she just ascended the stage, and angels came down. And you know, there was even one of those harp guys, you know, with a... He floated through the room, and all of a sudden, Hannah started singing, and we all just lit up. So it was so great to be able to get her to play today. And
Thank you. So,
Hannah, tell us a little bit about yourself. You have been writing songs for a long time, in a way, from school, right?
Yeah, well, my grandparents owned a music store when I was a little girl, and so they sold instruments and that kind of thing. So when I was in eighth grade, for Christmas, they gave me a guitar. And I learned to play off of a video. And then when I was a sophomore in high school, I went on a missions trip with my church and I wrote a song about it. I just was like, oh, I could write a song. And I just kind of discovered I could do it. And then I've pretty much been doing it ever since. Taking a few hiatuses here and there, took kind of a break during college. But I have quite a few in my repertoire now, so
yeah.
I'm starting to get out there and wanting to perform a little bit more.
Well, I enjoyed all your songs that you shared at Open Mic, and I wanted you to also talk a little bit about your relationship to songwriting. You were talking about a little bit about how songwriting is can be a catharsis for you. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I find that if I have an experience that touches me, I can write a song about it, and then... I find that it kind of brings out like a universal truth or something that kind of everyone can connect with. Like often after I perform, someone will come up and say, oh, that image from your song reminded me of this thing that happened to me.
I would love to hear you share one of those universal truths with us right now, if you would. So if you don't mind, we'd like to hear a song from you.
Okay, this one is called Chains. Strong.
But they will make you crazy. Chains around your neck will keep you here with me. They will make you stay. They won't make you happy. Won't make you happy. Might make us crazy.
Wow. Wow. We hope that you will consider sometime coming back to play for us.
I would love to.
That would
Absolutely.
Be great. And also, I wanted you to mention just one thing about your work, because it seems like your work also has been transformative. Where?
You mean what I actually do to make money?
Well, I'm sorry. I mean, you know, I think we could all say that, everybody. You know, we all... other things.
So I work for a place that does addictions counseling. So people who have substance use issues, we get a lot of referrals from the court system. So a lot of times it's people who don't really want to be there. They're there because they got into some kind of trouble with the law. And so it's interesting to see, it's fun to see how I can connect with those people and make them feel welcome in a place where they are just resisting being there. So that's given me a really good way to practice my connecting with people.
That's great. Let's give her another nice hand. Thank you, Hannah. Thank you so much.
And now just sit right back. You'll hear a tale. A tale of a fateful trip. It's Life with a Rover.
Wow. What a beautiful day today. Magnetic Park. I love walking in Magnetic Park, you know. CCC built this beautiful clubhouse here, and you got the magnetic flowing well. I can sort of see why they wanted to create a resort here at one time. Hey, wait just a minute here. Where's my phone's not here in my breast pocket. I must have left it at home. Gosh, doggone it. Professor Schuper was going to text me to tell me when it would be a good time for me to send him an email to tell him when it would be a good time for him to call me. Wait, what is that? What in the world is that? It must be a hostage situation. Look, where's my phone? Oh, no, I don't have my phone. It looks, I see. It's a member of the Plymouth SWAT team. They're over there by the flowers. Maybe the geese are taking over. Hey, is there a problem? Is it the geese, officer?
What's this?
I don't think he can hear me inside that helmet. Can you hear anything at all?
Let me open my ear flap. There.
Wow, it is Lizzie, is that you in there?
Hi, Rover. Aren't these flowers beautiful?
Well, what's up with you? What's the deal?
Isn't that a lovely smell?
Oh, yes, those flowers are beautiful. But wait a minute. Didn't I hear you were struck by lightning last week?
Yeah, lightning.
But you're dressed like a soldier. What's with the outfit, all the SWAT team garb?
Oh, this is for my protection, Rover. When I first wake up in the morning, I jump into my aluminum foil slippers and scoot into the bathroom. I make myself more comfortable, if you know what I mean, and then I jump into the shower.
Wait. You wear aluminum foil slippers in your shower?
I have to. There's a real and present danger.
Danger? What do you mean?
Racket, tremors, odors. I'm susceptible to everything. Bad weather, disease, even terrorism.
And the slippers keep that away?
Well, they do for a while. But when I get out of the shower, I have to get dressed really quick. I have 30 seconds to get my armor on, as I like to call it.
Well, you need a cell phone.
No, that's way too much. I put this stuff on and nothing bothers me the rest of the day.
Oh, that kind of sounds nice, not being bothered. And it's been that way since you were hit by lightning?
That's right. No more tangling in my toes, no more burning in my fingers, no more moaning and groaning and crying, no more ringing in my ears. I didn't even realize all that was there until it went away.
Oh, wow, that does seem like a lot. But was that all? Were there any other symptoms?
Well, everything smelled funny, sort of like the airport. And everything tasted funny, like when the dentist puts a needle in your gums.
Oh, that does hurt. Oh, you're telling me that when you put on the motorcycle helmet and the Kevlar vest and the shin pads and those tall fox hunting boots and the leather gloves, all that disappears? Everything?
Every morning. No more tingle and no more ringle. I am safe.
But can you hear anything at all?
Sometimes I think I can hear Jean Fanaty, but it's not real.
Oh, so other than that, you feel okay now after being struck by lightning?
I feel great, Mr. Rover, sir. I feel better now than I felt before the lightning, if you want to know the truth. I haven't felt this good since before cell towers.
Wow, that's great. You know, you almost make me wish I could be struck by lightning.
Oh, well, I wasn't going to say so, because everybody thinks I'm nuts already. But yeah, the next time there's a thunderstorm, you ought to go outside and stand next to the nearest 40-foot flagpole and hope for the best.
It does sound a bit dangerous. I'm afraid I might not survive.
Yeah, Mr. Rover, that's probably right. I learned something, struck by lightning, but it might not be the same for you. I don't ever want to be struck by lightning again. Maybe you can just learn from what happened to me.
Yeah, I don't want to have all that tingling and ringling and the taste and the smell thing to begin with.
I know what you mean. I don't ever want to be struck by lightning again.
Yeah, Lizzie, maybe I can learn something from you.
Don't forget the ringling in my head that went away. Do you have that? I used to, but I don't anymore. The lightning roasted my radio and torched my TV and cockeyed my computer and fried my phone, too. But I don't miss any of that noise in my head. Do you have that kind of ringling noise in your head, Mr. Rover?
No, Lizzie. I don't think so.
Ring, ring, ring.
Oh, look, I have my phone after all. It was in my back pocket. Oh, that's great. Oh, hello, hello. Professor Schubert? Yes, yes. I'm on my way.
That was Life with a Rover, a whimsical feature of the Moonatics with Cindy Davis and George Schricker as the Rover.
I've been roving around Hildervale town to town. The people that I meet on the old city street get stranger as the years roll around. But still I've got to say, I love them anyway. I'm a rover and I'll never settle down.
Well, okay. Well, it's great to be back and here with Jim Bowen, who's going to help us out with a poem. Is that correct?
Hi, George. Yeah, yes.
And Jim Bowen is in the Moonatics, right here at Wild Rose Moon, and a comedy improv group. And he has been a great, great help. And he and I got to talking about this poem, didn't we?
Yes, we did a little bit.
And we thought it might be perfect for a show with a string band.
Well, it certainly fits, yeah.
Yeah, because it's about what about buck dancing, right?
Sure, yes,
and,
it is. Hey, I'm just reading it. I'm not a buck dancer by trade.
Oh, you haven't, no, you haven't done any buck dancing?
No.
Okay. Well, I would imagine that probably John Baylor, we'll talk to him later, and maybe he'll tell us whether he's done any buck dancing. But, well, this is a poem by a friend of mine, Chris Mattingly, and he grew up down in Evansville in kind of a tough area, and he wrote this this poem when we were working on our MFAs together, and I was so impressed by his reading, I thought maybe, and then I saw Jim read it, and I was equally impressed. So, Jim, could you read this poem for us?
I sure will. I'd be happy to, George. The poem is called Poppy Could Hold Down the Woodpile. When he was 80, my grandpa taught me how to buck dance, the thwacking footwork made to inflect fiddle rhythms. Although I'd never seen him dance, I spied his moves through stories, witnessed them in a circle of raw wood on the porch where boots had scuffed the blue paint on pants worn thin at thighs where his hands ham-boned polyrhythms. As a young man, my grandpa danced to music transmitted through the telephone. He said it was radio's first days. All the houses in the holler were connected through an open line. So Saturday nights, a string band played into one phone, and anyone else could listen through the receiver in another home. Little Liza Jane hissed from the single speaker of a radio suspended from a nail in the kitchen the day I learned my first steps. Heel toe, heel drag, double toe, brush, heel toe, heel rock, double toe, double toe. He moved like a flop-eared mule in a field of black-eyed daisies. When I stood to join him, he collapsed, face down on the pine slats. I rolled him over. His heart had hammered the finish from the floor. Chris Mattingly.
Jim, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Hannah. Will you join us again sometime?
Yeah, sure. If you'll have me back, I'd be happy to be here.
It'd be great. We'll learn a little bit more about you.
All right.
All right.
There's some mighty fine people, and just maybe you know them. They know how to write a good poem. Sometimes they jangle, sometimes they rhyme, but not always.
Boy, that guy knows how to not rhyme. So anyway, well, thank you for sticking around, and we're up next. We're going to have the Stampede String Band with two more songs, and we're going to learn a little bit more, and we're finally going to find out in this episode, the next episode, of when and what the Stampede Band name means.
With support from the Marshall County Community Foundation, the Bruce G. and Mary A. Robert Family Foundation, Nancy and Dan Schmelder, and the Friends of the Wild Rose Moon, you're listening to the Wild Rose Moon Radio Hour.